All right, you're listening to the Phoning It In podcast recorded at KDVS Davis. My name's Nadav, and right now I'm joined by David DM Stith and Shara Worden of My Brightest Diamond, both Asthmatic Kitty recording artists, gonna play some of David's songs for you. How you doing?
I'm good.
You're in Detroit right now, you said?
Yeah, I'm visiting Shara. This is where her new home is.
Cool. Where are you normally based?
I am normally based in Bloomington, Indiana.
And how I know next to nothing about that part of the country. How close or far are those two places?
I think it took me about 6 hours to get here.
Wow.
By car. So that's relatively close in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But it's my first time visiting Detroit.
Cool.
Not that close.
Yeah, I've only been there once. It was when I was moving across the country.
Oh, you stopped along the way or something?
Yeah, I had a good friend there who we went to lunch with, and just the timing worked out well.
Oh, how long ago was that?
That was last summer.
Oh, okay.
I've only been
out. So you got to see the state of Detroit.
Yeah, the half-torn-down stadium.
Yeah.
It was kind of eerie.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. It's I've lived in both, like, very urban, like New York City, and I've also lived way out in the country. And where I'm staying now in Detroit, at Shara's house, she lives on a street that's kind of set up. It's more like a rural community, like almost sub-agrarian. But it's in the middle of the city, so like there's like a community garden here, and people have lots of animals, and they have like even a common like plot of land in the back.
Wow, that's really interesting.
But it's because all these houses have fallen down that they have all this extra kind of grassland.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that actually, like just abandoned lots being sort of reclaimed by nature.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's beautiful in a way.
Yeah. Well, it seems like there's definitely artistically a lot going on there, despite the sort of state of urban decay the city finds itself in.
We were just talking about that today, actually. Now, like, what was it yesterday? It was today. We were driving around, and there are installations, kind of, you know, lots that have been taken over by artists. There's a house that's covered in stuffed animals, like stuffed animals nailed all over the house. There's kind of a couple streets that are really heavily concentrated with these kind of subversive art installations, kind of spontaneous.
Wow.
Collections. So, you know, when you have this much space and kind of unclaimed land, it becomes the new canvas.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting.
Yeah, that is. Well, do you want to go ahead and try a song?
Yeah, sure. We're going to play so I don't know when you're going to air this, but I wrote a song a while ago called Thanksgiving Moon. And since Thanksgiving is just 3 days away, I thought I'd start with that one.
Sounds perfect.
Okay, we're going to do it. Ready? Raise your arms for victory. Aha! Drink to love, drink to me. We'll start over, we'll start new this time. With all stars and shadows on. And we're all stars. Yes, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. All around the Thanksgiving moon. A misty light, imprecise and still. From a jagged bright sycamore.
big man stared him down in the middle afternoon. Far hit the blood and the metal with his hand, with his hand, with his hand, with his hand. Oh, is that a star? Oh, shallow victory. Oh, is that a star? Oh, shallow victory. Oh, is that a star? Oh, shallow victory. Oh, is that a star?
Sounded good.
Okay. Not too muddy or anything?
Fairly muddy, but such is par for the course.
Okay. Alrighty. Should I go on to the next song?
Please.
Okay. This one's called Pity Dance. I'll play this one alone. The parts I don't like. Oh, I ought to learn, to learn. I ought to learn. I can't please myself every time. Oh, bring me some flowers and bring me a landscape of clouds and rain. And let the sky give up her many heavy-hammered warnings. I'll take her warnings. But you are Sue. When I left, Mommy would wash my body back to you. Oh, oh, back to you. Back to you. Shock, horror, hallelujah. You descend again, sweet oblation.
for your guide is all I am. Recently fed, trust me all. And the body waits for alteration. Come on, fire, don't leave me waiting for the world to replace me or replace me. Or replace me, yeah.
Hey there.
Hello.
So where does the DM moniker come from?
Where does it come from?
Yeah, is it simply your initials?
My name. Well, my first name is David. My second name is Michael, or Middle.
Your
my
Michael
middle name is Middle. I don't know. Back in the day, I was a designer, and I needed to buy a website to host my portfolio. And I went to davidstitt.com, and somebody claimed it, and the person that had claimed it had a drawing of himself up, and the guy looked just like me. It was like a crayon drawing, and it was a skinny white dude with blonde, wavy hair, and on it said, David Stitt eats children. And I thought it was a prank at first. I thought my friends had done that somehow, but that's kind of an expensive prank. Anyway, so I was like, well, I can't use that site. I can't use davidstitt.com, and I've never gone by the name Dave. So anyway, DM Stitt was available, so I bought the website, and then same thing happened with MySpace. There's a David Stitt on MySpace who makes kind of rapcore music. So I don't know. It was kind of like by default, and also when I've been in school, you're forced to you get an email address, and my name's always been shortened to DM Stitt, David Michael Stitt, when I've been in college and stuff. So it was kind of like a series of letters that I was comfortable with, and I thought it made sense to just use it.
Yeah. So from those beginnings, do people actually call you DM now?
Yeah, sometimes, or Dungeon Master, or Demand. They use the letters.
So it's worked out well, it sounds like.
What's that?
It's worked out well, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's fine. It also, I don't know, Sufjan was like, my friend Sufjan, I've got to stop dropping his name. He's the guy that runs the label that I'm on, and he's a musician, and he helped to get me a record deal sort of thing. And he was giving me some critical advice in the beginning. And he's like, you should really go by David Stitt. Nobody's going to understand this DM Stitt thing. And I was like, I told him my reasons. And he's like, well, it's up to you. I'm not going to mention it again if you decide to go by DM Stitt. So, I don't know. People have warned me, but I don't think it's been a big problem.
No, it's
the last name is the problem. Nobody understands how to pronounce it. Or they think it's Smith. Or they think it's a million other things.
Yeah.
So the DM's not the problem.
Yeah. I would say as a whole, it's a very memorable name.
Oh, good. I like the way it looks as a designer.
Yeah.
I like the letters.
And how did you end up in sort of the asthmatic kitty circle?
My friend Shara, the woman who I'm visiting right now. Well, I moved to Brooklyn a few years ago, kind of on a whim. And I met Shara through some close friends, through the friend I was living with. He was a part of a church, a group of people that met on Sundays in different houses. And I was invited the first week after I moved to New York to meet all these people. And so we went to this person's house, and there was some wonderful music playing. And I asked the owner of the house what we were listening to, and the owner was Shara Warden, and she introduced me to some amazing music, and I found out she was a musician. And then I saw her perform, and I had never written a song before I saw her perform. And then after that, I was like, holy damn, this is amazing.
Wow,
and then I got to know her better, and she helped facilitate my songwriting.
Wow.
And then she's on the label, and so I got on the label.
Cool. So before that point, were you already a musician playing for other people?
No, not at all.
Yourself?
I've had a guitar, this acoustic guitar I'm playing now. I'd had that since I was like 16 or something, but I had never performed on the instrument or sang, like, I'd never written songs or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked to play it every now and then. So no, I wasn't a musician. I was a visual artist and a writer. But I'd always listened. I think the thing I cared about most was music, but I had a lot of insecurities, like, about performing, about kind of singing in front of people.
Yeah.
I thought I had a bad voice, things like that.
Well, that's a great story. You don't often hear stories of inspiration like that.
What?
Seriously.
There's a whole field of entertainment that's just stories like that. No, I like that story. I think it's I feel really lucky. I feel like I met all the right people at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really incredible to me. My family can't believe that I'm writing songs and performing them, because I grew up so shy.
Wow.
Yeah. So they still have never seen me play, actually. They've never seen me perform. When I came home from a European tour, and my mom was talking to me on the phone, and it hadn't really registered with her that, like, I was touring because I'm a musician and I was playing in front of people. And she asked how many people I was playing in front of. And I told her a number. It could have been any number, but she just had never imagined that there were real people in the audience that were like paying to watch me perform. And she wept like a baby.
Wow.
When it registered. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Most people who are musicians can't, of the sort of musicians who can get away with playing in front of that many people, it's probably the tip of the iceberg, and there's a whole lot of people who really struggle. So it's definitely rare to be able to make your parents proud by saying that you're a musician.
Yeah.
Unless you've got really, really supportive parents.
I do. They've been great.
Which is good, too.
They don't really understand. They're wondering when I'm going to start making money doing this. they're worried for me that way, but my mom says that she still listens to my record every day. And it's been out for 6 months or so. That's a lot. So they're both musicians. My dad, growing up, my dad was a band director and a church choir director. And my mom's a pianist. So there's a lot of music in the family. Both my sisters sing opera.
Wow.
Or studied it in college.
So it wasn't necessarily unnatural for you to become a musician.
Right, right. I was always surrounded by it. But I think I also was also very critical of, like, at an early age, like, I was forming taste maybe before I should have. And so sometimes the only thing my parents remember me doing, like, with my voice when I was in I guess late elementary school, early middle school, was they would be practicing songs at the piano at our, in our living room to sing at church. My dad would kind of plunk out the treble, the right-hand notes, like the melody, and my mom would play the rest of the stuff, and they would teach the parts to my sisters, and then they would perform in church. But I would always sabotage the rehearsals by singing the melody half a step higher, which was really funny. Yeah.
And also, but it seems like that's kind of difficult.
They knew that I could pick out like the worst harmonies possible on purpose.
So you had that going for you from an early age.
Yeah.
So how about another song?
Okay, we're going to try a new one. It doesn't have a name yet. I've been calling it My Impatience or Halloway or what else would I call it? Tell Me When It's Over. I don't know. It's something I'm working on now. So it's not finished, but it'd be fun to play it.
Go for it.
Okay. Let me just get my lyrics out. Okay. Ready, Sharon?
I hope so.
The arms of this chair. Kiss me here in the song you have kissed me. You held me down and made me give up. And quietly red like your anger, green like remember when silence in the dark. I was thinking, I was thinking, I was thinking. Tell me when it's over. Tell me when it's over. Tell me when it's over. Tell me when it's over.
Tell me when it's over. Tell me when it's over. but tell me when it's over. Tell me when it's over. Oh, 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 oh,
Do you think I could cajole a My Brightest Diamond song or two out of you guys as well?
I would like that.
Wow.
We didn't talk about that at all.
Oh, we could do the Gentlest Gentleman.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Can I do part?
Will you sing on it?
Yeah, my pleasure. I'll move on to the next.
Whatever you want.
As long as it's not a half step off key.
Can you hear that okay?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Sounds okay.
Sorry, this ukulele. My parents bought this for me in Hawaii, but I think they bought it at a tourist shop.
So it doesn't stay
and
in tune.
And so it's very pretty. It has a nice pearl inlay, but you can't tune it to save your soul. Okay. That's as close as we'll get. Okay, here we go. Maybe next time when I see your face again, I will tell you that I love you. And if this is to be the end, well, hey, that's it. We have tasted life, we have taken all, with a big breath out and a big breath in, we sang la 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 la. Thank you.
sounding great.
Cool.
So do you guys, had I not, you know, asked about playing this set over the phone, would you guys, you know, still necessarily have played songs together?
Probably not.
No, we listened to music a lot when we were together.
That was a first.
Yeah, this is the first time. David sang the vocals on both of my albums, both the
all the vocals.
All the vocals.
Including you as well.
David is the ghost vocalist on My Brightest Diamond. But yeah, he sang on all my records. But generally, when we're together, we just listen.
Well, I'm glad I provided the excuse to make this happen.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, we've got time for a couple more if you guys aren't getting tired of playing into the thankless computer.
I think David has a song on the organ.
Yeah, I'm going to try and
look. We can switch the computer around, and I will pull this. David, maybe you can grab the stool thingy.
Dude, he shouldn't be able to do stuff like that.
There we go.
We have the computer balanced on 1, 2, 3, 4 items. We have a suitcase, a book, a big glass bowl, and this piece of wood.
And a wooden stool.
Yeah. How can you fit in here? Okay.
should hold the computer by your face.
I don't know about that.
No? Is it gonna
I'm
going
to sing loud, and I'm going to point my head at the computer.
Okay.
At the MacBook Pro. All right. Ready? Ready.
afraid.
I have one more I can do.
What was that last one?
That was called Braid of Voices.
Okay.
That was the evangelical preacher version.
These little organs are called suitcase organs, and they were used by evangelical preachers as they traveled around America.
Is it a pump organ?
Yeah, you can fold it up in a little box.
Yeah, I've seen one actually. Someone played one in my front yard once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were they preaching at you?
No, he wasn't. Just music. It was pretty sublime, though.
Yeah, they're really neat.
Yeah, I like the instrument a lot. So it would probably be best if the last one was more a guitar song. The organ sort of overwhelms. The computer mic, okay. It sounds like.
Yeah. Sarah, do you want to do Pigs with me?
You can try.
Okay. She's been singing this one around the house all day. So this is called Pigs. I'm going to start it now. I truly accepted what you offered me at. And oh, what I've done,
our families. Oh, oh, in the rain. Oh, oh, in the rain. Oh, oh, the rain.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. I hope the sound quality wasn't too bad.
No, I think you'll be pleased. I'm also going to hand this off to our studio tech to sort of smooth out the rough edges.
Replay everything.
Yeah.
Add some bass.
Yeah, you won't recognize it. Full choir, the works.
Just auto-tune everything. That'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah, just some of the... I don't know what the technical terminology is, but you know, sometimes when you certain sounds have more energy than others, like a P, if you're saying that in front of a microphone, will sound much louder than other letters. So there are certain, you know, guitar strums that sort of pop above everything else. So
I know. I don't know how to avoid that.
Yeah. So that's just a matter of, you know, a little bit of compression. I don't really edit these otherwise, just to make them a little more easy to listen to on headphones.
Sure.
Otherwise, everything for anyone listening to this right now is completely as is, except for the choir. That was not actually there at the time.
Well, thank you. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm glad we finally got to do this, and that Cher could be there too, and you guys, you know, got to play some tunes together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. It was a nice sort of just confluence of different things.
Yeah.
So hang on for just 1 second. You've been listening to DM Stith along with Cher Worden of My Brightest Diamond on Phoning It In. Check us out online at phoningitin.net and myspace.com/phoningitin. You can find My Brightest Diamond and DM Stith at their own MySpace pages, as well as at Matic Kitty Records. Thanks.